Blog Talk Radio.
This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew.
Beef stew.
Now we're talking about beef stew.
Beef stew.
Fry this beef stew. Fry this beef stew.
You know the name. You remember the hits.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the legendary Shine Light featuring Marshall Thompson.
For over 50 years, the legendary Shine Lights have performed all over the world to standing room only crowds. And now here's a brand new hit from the only original remaining member of this fabulous group. Marantz Records proudly present Hold On To Your Dreams from the Shine Lights, featuring Marshall Thompson.
This whole world is very cold. It is not putting y'all on hold.
Also from the Shine Lights, Low Key and Still In My Head. Hold On To Your Dreams from the legendary Shine Lights, featuring Marshall Thompson.
Hey everybody, I apologize for the delay. This is your host Mimi, Hot Talk. And I wanted to talk about sexy attire and is harassment warranted. I can understand wanting to feel sexy, wanting to look sexy. However, sometimes we get negative attention based on the way we dress, and the attention comes from male, female, people just not feeling what you're wearing. And I watch a show on E! Called Fashion Police every week with Joan Rivers, and I think it's hilarious. You know, she has a segment called Starlet or Streetwalker. And they show pictures that black out the face, and you have to guess whether it's a celebrity or a hooker. You know, it's hilarious. And I find myself thinking that a lot of ladies, no matter what, you know, no matter where they're from, you know, are they taking their fashion sense too far? And, I saw the news yesterday, and it was talking about the prom. Now, I remember receiving some emails previously with pictures of girls going to the prom, you know, scantily clad clothing and, you know, sometimes crazy attire. It could be like a basketball jersey, evening gown, and just very revealing. And I was thinking, are these pictures real? Are they really going to the prom this way? But actually, there are schools that are thinking about doing some type of clothing etiquette program for, you know, these young girls that are wearing whatever to the prom, you know, and they want a dress code. So I was thinking to myself, people want to express themselves at the prom. They want to have a good prom, but are these ladies too young? Maybe the parents are thinking, and the school too, are thinking that they're going to get too much negative attention, and should young people be dressing this way? And I think the parents in the school, you know, they have a right to do this because these kids are really minors, and they are dressing too sexy. I think many young ladies give men the wrong idea about them when they're dressing this way. And I think young girls are watching people like Rihanna, for instance, and they're thinking that what she's wearing is so great, but she is a celebrity, and you have to remember that she's an entertainer. But, you know, I saw her last week on TV, and she had this see-through sweater on. And I'm thinking, wow, you're walking down the street like that with your breasts exposed? And I guess some young girls think that they can do it too, but, you know, you're going to get a lot of negative attention if you do this type of thing. So I don't think that's the best way to get attention. I think you should let your personality show for you to get attention. But I know sometimes, you know, you want to look hot. Maybe you want to spark a little bit of controversy when you go into the club or you're hanging out. But I think there's a certain way to do it. And, you know, we have Cap in the house, our producer Cap.
Yes, I'm in the house. I also want to apologize. It was my fault, you know. It was my own doing the technical difficulty while they had blank, little blank space there. And but we're on track. But anyway.
So, Cap, what do you think about this topic? Because I know you go out and you see the ladies and you may think they look fly. Oh, I like her, whatever. You want to get a number. But what do you think about the ladies dressing scantily clad these days? Like, are they taking it too far? Or what do you think? It's just sexy.
Well, I mean, there's different ways. There's different styles. A person can be sexy. A person can be scantily clad and not look trashy. The person who is scantily clad may not be attractive. So it's different ways to look at it. But I mean, I guess when you're thinking in terms of the wrong signals.
Right.
Like, I think the female has to consider the signal that she's giving out depending on what she's wearing. And the signal may be received depending on the mentality of the person. So it's still confusing because you don't know. But I do know the more scantily clad you are, the more it's showing sex, and the more you may be likely to have a dude who doesn't know how to control himself say crazy things to you.
Right. I agree with that. But do you think it's warranted for them to do that to you?
I don't think it's warranted. No, I don't think it's warranted. But but should you expect it? That's the question. Should you expect it? It's not warranted, but do you know what you're getting into when you wear that? And I think about what you were saying with the prom girls. Like, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm gonna become this generation's old fart. But these girls, I'm sorry, man. The stuff y'all wear, I don't know about other states, but New York, we always were known for having nice dressed people. And I'm sorry, my young girls, my young sisters, y'all look crazy. Y'all look absolutely crazy. Y'all have on furry Thunder the Barbarian boots in the summer with booty shorts. and then the shirt, it'd be like a purple shirt and blue pants and then like yellow Uggs. Like, what? I don't understand. Like, what the hell is going on? You know how it is when you was a kid and you get your crayons and you color your coloring book? You just grab whatever colors are available. That's what they remind me of. I'm sorry. That's just what I see.
Well, you know, I think with the younger generation or, you know, the generation now, I think they're taking fashion trends from some of the rappers, too, which may be the Southern rappers. And, you know, such is life. That's history.
I don't know.
Like, they see what they're wearing, and then they try to turn it into something, and then it just turns out all wrong.
I just think they're mixing too much. They're mixing too many things together.
I agree.
You got all these different, it's like gumbo fashion. Let me see what's in the closet. I'll throw it up in the air, and whatever lands next to each other, that's what I'm going to put on.
Yeah, I agree. I saw some girls a while back wearing like some T-shirts and everything with some dressy pearls. Like, two things don't mix. I mean, I know everybody's trying to be a fashion stylist these days.
A wife beater with pearls.
So I don't know where they're getting their fashion sense from, but it's something to be desired. It's like having an acquired taste for something. But, you know, back to the topic at hand, have you ever witnessed your friends harassing women?
Well, I got to be my friends.
Because I'm asking your experiences.
Have I ever witnessed people?
I'm asking your experience as far as hanging around with other men and everything. Have you seen?
You said my friends.
Okay.
People. Have I ever seen people?
He doesn't want to blow anybody up.
Not my friends. Have I seen people do it? And the answer is yes. It's like, again, you know, it's a different vibe when a woman is dressed revealing. If they have something that's very fitting, if it's something that's short, real short, where it looks like you just might be able to see the cookie, it changes how a man, I won't say it changes because a man is going to think sex anyway, but it makes him more inclined to say something that's off the cuff, that shouldn't be said, because I don't know what it is. I can't even explain why, but dudes are more likely to talk dirtier to women who are dressed more revealing.
Well, you know, this is a good question, because sometimes I see a woman who is beautiful and men, you know, they'll kind of act a little bit sheepish. And then sometimes you see somebody who isn't as attractive and, you know, they'll treat her a certain way. Do you think beauty is the standard for how a man treats a woman, regardless of how she's dressed?
I don't know about regardless, because if she's ugly and scantily clad, then he's going to talk a certain way. If she's not attractive to him and she's dressed scantily clad, he might go for it anyway because he thinks she's easy. Or if she got a body, if she's ugly with a very nice body, he may be nice. If she has a very pretty face and dressed scantily clad, she's really going to hear it. If she's dressed conservatively with a pretty face, then she's going to hear a little bit of it.
Well, hear a little bit of what? Because, you know, most men would try to talk to a woman who's beautiful and scantily clad because they might get somewhere with her at the end of the night. But as far as someone who may not be, maybe less attractive to him, do you think that, you know, the conversation might not go so well?
Well, put it this way. I mean, I'm not speaking. Maybe I am. I'd say the majority of dudes, if they have the control to not say those things that they're thinking, then they're better off. But if it's somebody scantily clad, believe me, the dude is thinking pretty much what every other dude is thinking, except this guy is smart enough, or he's used to it, or, you know, well, smart enough, he knows the game. That's how it's going to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. Sometimes I think that with fashion, I look at a lot of designers. I look at some of the runway shows when Fashion Week comes around, and I see, you know, sexy attire, and I see the sheer outfits and everything. Does it matter that these women are dressed in couture outfits versus something that you find at, I don't know, maybe say Rainbow Shop?
Well, from what I hear, Rainbow Shop sells very cheap things.
Yes. Yes, and that's the point. You know, some people thinking, well, her outfit looks cheap and it's still revealing. However, if I was dressed in something, say, maybe a Chanel outfit that sheer, maybe people would like what I'm wearing more because of the designer label, as opposed to saying, okay, well, she has on a cheap outfit and we know it.
I don't think dudes care. If it's tight and it shows your butt, they're going to like it.
I don't know. Because I think that sometimes if you're wearing something that has a designer label, I think people discriminate against what you're wearing as well.
No, but we're talking about dudes. You think dudes really care?
These days, yes, they do. They do. Everybody's worried about who's wearing red bottoms.
Yeah,
and
but what do they say? I hit it anyway. You know, maybe she had cheap clothes. So, you know, that's what it was.
Of course,
down.
But I think they treat you a little bit different based on, you know, everybody's listening to the songs, and based on what some of these girls are wearing, they'll think, okay, well, you know, talking about the flower bomb and all of this other stuff, just based on pop culture, what they think is better than, say, Rainbow Shop or Limited or whatever the average girl can afford.
Yeah. Well, working, I don't know. Let's take a call.
Okay.
We got a call here. This is 4907. Let me just click this button here. Hot Talk, you're on the radio.
Hey, what's up, man? This is Kareem from upstate New York.
What up, Kareem from upstate New York?
What's going on? I was just listening on the topic, and I think, you know, me being a male, that it doesn't really matter what the girl is wearing. Depending on the dude and what he's going out for that type of night, if she's dressed in a certain way and, you know, real skimpy, it doesn't really matter what label it is. If he's feeling like he's trying to get something to go home with him that night, that's who he's going to go for. If you're going to the club and you're looking for a girl that you're going to actually try to date and make something with, you're not going to go for the girl who has next to nothing on.
Okay.
And I think pretty much the women know that too. When they go out, they know exactly what they're doing. People with, you know, nice bodies and stuff, they know what they have. And, you know, they're just trying to get attention. Some of the women might want to be doing the same thing the dude's doing. They're going out to find somebody for the night. Or some of them just want the attention, you know, that brings.
Yes,
they'll turn down all the dudes the whole night, and you know, and just enjoy that attention that it brings.
But tell me this, and maybe I'm not speaking for the majority of dudes. But if you see a woman walking by with something real tight, something real short, and they walk past, are you not thinking sex? Are you not thinking, even if you go come to your senses a second later, is the first thing in your mind not, I want to hit that, damn?
Well, not necessarily I want to hit that, but you're thinking like, damn, look at that ass, like, I mean, look at that booty, and I mean, you definitely thinking with sex on your mind, not necessarily you want to hit it, but, you know, you got those images in your mind.
Yeah, so, but what's the image in your mind?
The image is the girl with that stuff off of her body, the clothes off.
Exactly. So hit it. This is what I'm saying. Like, okay, this is what I want to say, man. You know, I know I'm going a little off subject. I'll come back. I'll reel it in. But I think about why women look at a dude for a second and why men stare at women. And the reason is women... I don't know how y'all think. I can't speak for y'all. I don't know why y'all look for a second and y'all know. Dudes create movies in their head. In their mind, they see the woman go by with the big behind. They imagine talking to her. They imagine taking her home. They imagine the rhythm of what that looks like naked. They imagine the movements. They imagine the positions. They imagine like damn near an entire evening. And that's why they stare, because they're picturing everything that may happen.
I'm pretty sure women do the same thing. To me, it's the same. Women and men, we think the same things in the same ways. It's just different, little differences, subtle differences. But women think the same thing. They see a man who's been lifting weights all day, and he comes out, and he's all nice and sweaty, and they'll think the same thing. Bring him home. Same exact thing.
No, they think the same thing, but they don't stare as long.
Right.
Oh, no, they
women
they get
are a little bit more choosy than men. I think women are a little bit more choosy than men.
Well, because women can afford to be more choosy.
Not necessarily.
Yes, they can, because they're the ones being pursued. The man can be choosy, but he's the aggressor, so you're more likely to see a dude trying to talk to a woman.
Well, that's debatable, because these days women are the aggressor too.
Well, I mean, but still the majority. Overall, the way the world works, the man is the aggressor. And I'm sorry, I threw the line too far into the river. You know, we'll reel it back a little bit.
So, Kareem, do you think that it's warranted for women to be harassed because of the way they dress?
Yes and no. If you come out looking like that, say you got your drawers showing and, you know, you got features that is not normally seen by guys, and you know how guys are. Guys are you know, we're animals when it comes to that type of stuff. And every woman knows that. So if you're going to come out there looking like that, that's the attention you want.
Right. Right. I agree. Well, sometimes there are some women that just like fashion and they love to look sexy. And yeah, they
fashion
do want attention
from men. Fashion is different
from
wearing lingerie in the clubs.
Yeah, but you know, there are some fashions that do reveal a lot. Like I said, I saw Rihanna last week and she was wearing a sweater and it was sheer on purpose. Like the sweater was purposely sheer. And
well, when you talk about stars and people who are celebrities, they have to portray a certain image and to make money. It's business. They
right.
do that for business.
Right.
I don't think that she would be going to, you know, her family's birthday party looking like that.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah,
but then again, maybe. You never know.
But let me round it off with this, because it's something that you said, we kind of went on that topic before. But, you know, we'll hit you with this last question.
Okay.
From a douche perspective, overall, not if you're looking for Miss Wright, overall, does it matter what the style of fashion is or what the label is on the woman's clothing to determine if you want to have your way with her?
Nah, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I would say, you know, it don't matter what the label is on their clothes, but they definitely have to smell good. And they can have the cheapest clothes in the world on, and smell good, and you know, and they'll be all right.
Yeah, they smell like weed and feet that's covered in perfume. It's not gonna work.
Yeah, that's not gonna work.
Well, all right, Kareem, thanks for calling in and weighing in, man. We definitely appreciate it.
Thank you for your comments.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
So yeah, so see, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't specifically think it's the label of the clothing, but sometimes when people see that, you know, a girl is wearing something expensive, they're thinking, oh, well, you may have to treat her more like a lady than just some common hooker.
Well, that's because you think you might be able to get more out of her.
More like what?
If she's wearing expensive things, then maybe she got money.
Of course.
So that's what I mean. Get more things out of them.
Like money or?
Well,
a car or?
Well, that's what it'd be. Well, it takes money to get a car.
Looking for a sugar mama?
Maybe a sugar mama.
Okay.
You know, Ladies Night last night talked about that. Sugar daddy, sugar mama.
Yes, they did.
You know?
But
it was a great show, by the way.
Yes, it was. But I think that, you know, I think ladies these days are taking their attire a little bit too far. You know, just going out to the club, a lot of times I think, what is this lady wearing? What is going on in her head? What is she thinking? But, you know, some people need the attention.
What about there's some women that wear those sheer leggings with no... It's supposed to, a dress or something is supposed to go with it, and they just got their underwear on and these sheer leggings, and they're wearing them like pants.
Oh, we did see that, didn't we, when we went to that club that time?
The SpongeBob. She had a SpongeBob booty, too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she did have a SpongeBob, but I think she wanted some attention, but she didn't know how to wear the leggings. And I'm thinking, okay, does she know it's sheer? Is it supposed to be sheer? Or... is it that she just, you know, it's too big and it's stretching all out and it's becoming sheer because they're too small for her?
So let me ask you this. Bigger women. Do bigger women wear tighter, more revealing stuff is that an esteem thing, or is it that they got the parts and they want to show it, or is it that they can't find clothes to fit them?
Well, big in what sense?
Like a plus size.
Plus size, how big? Like size 14 and up?
Like about size precious.
Size precious? I don't know. I really haven't seen any women size precious trying
to. But in that neighborhood, well, I have. But in that neighborhood.
In that neighborhood? I think that those women probably can't find any, you know, like club attire to wear. So they figure, okay, well, I'm going to look like the next girl.
Yeah.
The average woman. And they're saying, okay, well, I'm going to just put this on because I'm sexy no matter what. And I'm going to go out wearing this.
I don't know, man. I've seen these big girls, especially when they got big breasts. And the neckline be so plunging, it's damn near at the belt buckle. And it's just breasts.
Yeah.
All out.
Yeah.
And sometimes they push them up so far, it'd be in their throat.
Because they want to be sexy. And I've seen people like that, too. Even sometimes I've worked with people that, you know, they have their breasts pushed up or just their breasts out. And I'm thinking, okay, isn't this an office? Why are you dressed like that? But I guess maybe they use the excuse that they don't have anything else or they can't fit anything else or whatever the case may be, or this is just what it is. This is their breast. But, you know, as far as just going to work like that, I think that you should cover them up because that's not the way to dress at work. But I think that bigger women do that because they know that's their only asset. You know, if you don't have a waistline, what else can you show to make yourself look more attractive?
So that's how they feel. Well, I mean, to me, I'm like, you know, more power to you if you're comfortable with it. But my thing is, it has to look right. Like, I know I've seen plus size women that look very attractive because they know how to wear it.
Right.
If you're just going straight for to be revealing, just to show it, and it's you stuffing yourself into something that's not fitting to your body type, really all you're going to get is the attention of dudes that's saying, I could probably hit it because she probably got a low self-esteem. Or you got big breasts, so they're going to stare at it. But you can dress in a way that's like I know a lot of plus size females
mm-hmm.
who dress really well.
Right.
Really well. They look nice in everything they wear, and they're not trying to just show. You know, it can be sexy and not overly revealing.
Right.
And that's what girls of any type. That's what they need to think about. If you showing everything, you're going to get attention, but is it really the attention that you want deep down when you really think about it?
Right. I think a well-dressed woman can be sexy no matter what she's wearing. But if you want to, you know, jazz it up, be a little bit sexy, I think too revealing is going too far because you don't want to give people the wrong idea. You don't want anybody to have the wrong idea about you.
Yeah, you know what I find sexy? Like, be it a skirt suit or a pantsuit, because I was talking about the workplace. When a woman has that, and oddly enough, this is gonna sound crazy, but also if a woman dresses like that and they're leaving work and they put on their little, I remember back in the day they put on their little 5411s or their track sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was sexy. They come in a little suit and they got a little 5411 white Reeboks on with the stockings.
Oh, boy.
You know, I don't know. Something about it, you know. You want to get a little station ID real quick?
This is Hot Talk, and we're on beefstewradio.com. blogtalk.com/beefstewradio.com.
Twitter.com/beefstewradio.com. Facebook.com/beefstewradio.
.com.
No, not .com. You're not going to get through with .com. It's /beast2radio. Come on, girl. What we pay you for? What we pay you for?
Sorry about that.
Hey, but we've been talking. You know, our little 30 minutes is, well, your 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you got me on here talking. That's when the time goes by, you know?
Yeah, because Cap likes to talk. Contrary to belief, he likes to talk about everything, which is what we like about Cap. That's why he's here with us. And he's a super producer, so that's why he's here with us.
Mitch is gracious. Mitch is gracious, you know. But we're about to turn the helm over.
Yes, we are.
You know,
to DJ
to
Big
the Grand Soup. Master, the Grand Wizard.
Yes, sir. I'm in the building.
Who we all know also, as he talks with his hands, but he also uses his mouth to speak as well. I know he got an opinion on this topic.
Yeah, you know, I think I don't know. I don't think the girls deserve to be harassed, you know? That's one thing. I don't think they deserve to be harassed. I'm not going to say that. But I think they ask for it a lot. You know, I see girls.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. We can continue after, but is it bring your kids to work day?
Yeah. You know, dragging them down the elevator and they drop me off. So, you know, trying to get rid of him and take him down the stairs. He wanted to come with his dad and be on the radio, you know?
Yeah, let him spin a little bit. But my bad. What you saying now?
Last time I did that, he broke my turntable, so I can't. But, you know, what I do think is what I find funny a lot is, like, all right, girl, she got a whole bunch of little stuff on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then out of nowhere, when you look at her, she gets upset. Like, you know, like, you ever seen that? The girl, she be wearing the littlest things, and when you look like, oh, hey, wow. Then she'll give you a little stink attitude, like you ain't supposed to look at her. Why did you put that on?
Because she put it on thinking that there's like these blinders and only the man that she wants to look at her will be capable. Like she thinks she's cloaked until the man she's attracted to looks at her.
Well, I think it's the look but don't touch type of thing.
But they ain't touching, they looking.
But sometimes when you look at them, they give you the nasty attitude.
Right, but when you look at them, it's like you're touching them. So it's like the look but don't touch thing, which is ridiculous.
I can't comprehend that.
You know, I really don't understand that. And let me tell you something. And a lot of those girls, they'll be looking at you first to make sure you're looking at them. Then the eye contact, then she's mad. I mean,
like Cap said, it's that you're not the one she wants to look at her. So it's like, okay, well, I want to see if he's looking, but I don't want him to look or say anything.
Well, they want to be, maybe envy is not the right word, but they want the attention.
They want to be desired.
And they want to be able to say, get out of my face.
Right.
You can't have this. And those
women
are the
love
ones
to turn you down. That does something for their ego.
Oh, hell yeah. Because contrary to belief, man, most women, even the most beautiful woman, doesn't have all the confidence in the world. You'd be surprised, man. Like, okay, I'll give you a story. Cause you know, a lot of times I always go into a little personal story. Years ago, I dated a woman. Very, very attractive woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
We went together for, I don't even remember, maybe 2 years or so, right? Now, things between us wasn't working out. It had nothing to do with her looks, right? This woman was gorgeous, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we were in the midst of breaking up. She didn't want to break up. It was an emotional thing, which it's going to be emotional whenever you're going to separate from somebody. So, we're going over it all, and she's now at the point where she's crying. I mean, like, crying like crazy, right? So, all I said to her was, you know, don't worry about it. You'll definitely find somebody else. I'm saying that because dudes were hollering at her all the time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Most girls get hollered at least 3 times a day if they're in public. So more than that. But you know what she took it as? That I said she's ugly. And I heard from her 10 years later, and we had a conversation, and she said, you know, I just got over that. I just got over that. I felt ugly for 10 years.
Wow.
She has her own self-esteem issues beyond you, Cap. I mean,
right.
You know?
Yeah, but there's a lot of women like that. Their egos are fragile. You know, for us, our skin is a little thicker because we are the hunters. So
and we get turned down a lot.
There's going to be a lot of rejection.
A man could get turned down. Like, say you're in the club. A man could get turned down for like 2 hours just asking to dance.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, every girl, no, I don't want to dance. 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 And for some reason, we still want to stay in the club. Now, let a woman get rejected 2 times in the club, and she's ready to be out of there.
Yeah, she want to tell her friends. She want to leave.
This place ain't popping. Let's get up out of here.
And especially if their friends are getting people to dance with them, then they're
exactly. See, man, we'll wallflower all the way to the end of the night. We just have a bad night.
Stats were low.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some nights when you go to the club where your friend gets more attention than you, and then there are nights when you go and you get more attention than your friend. But that's just the way things go.
Well, that's in women. See, because men, we always play side chick. So if you get an attention, I'm going to try to get the attention later from my friend. Hook me up. Designated hitter. See, we always got that plan. Y'all always got the friend that's annoying. And say if somebody's talking to you, but then there's always that one girl that's, oh, come on, let's go to the, as soon as she ain't getting no attention. Y'all always have that problem, women. Y'all always got one in a bunch. Like, two of y'all might be like, oh, bow, yeah, the brothers is going at her. Then it's the one, she's sitting there looking mad sour. She got her little sexy gear on, but for some reason it don't look like the other two sexy gear. And she's not getting no attention. She'd be the one that'd be ready to leave. She's the one that'd be ready to throw a drink at a guy. She's the one that you see security pulling out the club because she's acting all wild. And that happens a lot with women. Women, y'all so competitive, y'all can compete against each other. Guys, if Cap is the man and Cap getting all the girls, he can't have all of them. Like a man thing. So a man thing, I'm going to get over there and rap to one of them and get in the conversation and, you know, we adjust.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's how it should go, mm-hmm. You know, because everybody's not going to be attracted to everybody. So
exactly. There
are times when, you know, you got to chill some nights. Okay, whatever. They're not feeling me right now. So I'm just going to chill for a minute and sip my drink and that's it.
Yeah,
and that's how I feel about
that
it.
Way. I mean, you can look at basketball wives. You can look at when they're going out. When some of them, you know, and a couple of them is married, you know. I mean, the two or three. Let's take the Housewives of Atlanta. Even though a couple of them is married, I don't know what's up with these wives thing. Cause nobody be married anyway. They just be got the wives title. But
yeah,
anyway,
they need to change the wifey.
Yeah, they need, you know, I guess, you know, something a shorty, basketball shorty or something.
House shorty.
You know, because you know, but anyway, it's like you see when they in the club. You see how they all sit? They sit down, they go out there, they put everything on, and they don't want to be bothered. None of them. They sit there and fight each other.
Because, okay, with the basketball wives, they go out, they want to get the attention of the big baller. Because they've already been there, done that. So now, if it's the little guy coming to the club, try to talk to them, they're looking for the millionaire, the next millionaire that's going to take care of their lifestyle. So they're not looking for the little guys. So, of course, they don't want to talk to them.
But I want to ask you something. They be wearing Skippy Scubbers. I'm going to ask you something, Cap. Don't really too many basketball wives look attracted, though, right? Like what you would think.
I think most of the cast is beautiful.
Are you talking about the cast?
I don't know. I mean, all right, like, let's take Tammy. She's too strong. Like, she remind you of a hood girl. Like, you know how when the tattoo don't sit right on the body?
And it's but just I think Tammy's beautiful, though. She had a rough life, but I think she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever really seen her body, like, would she be wearing her clothes? She got the type / dope fiend look, you know?
Oh.
I mean, I'm not saying she's a fiend.
Too.
I'm not saying she's a fiend. You know how dope fiends, when they be big and they try to be overdressed, the dope fiend? You know, you ever
no,
seen that?
I understand where you're coming from. She's just not polished.
Yeah, her thing is not polished. Royce look a little trashy, but she's a cheerleader. But she just, her clothes look like it's, all right, she got to wear the real small clothes because she's not that big. They're not really looking like Kim Kardashian is. Kim Kardashian is, you know, that's what you expect a basketball player to be with.
Well,
when you
Kim
see
Kardashian,
these girls, you'd be like thinking they were slumming around with some of these girls.
Kim Kardashian is heavily into fashion and...
And that's what you think a basketball wife should be. Like, you know, I don't care if you, if, like, all right, the first lady. Remember the lady that was dark-skinned and they kicked her and she didn't want to ever come back? She was a little scared of them. They started dissing her. The new basketball wives, I guess it was L.A., and they put a new lady down. She was dark-skinned. She wasn't really into the fact. She was talking like she was smart and real intellectual. She was on there in the beginning, and they just chopped her off.
Yes, I remember her.
You know, that's what I think a basketball wife would be, like somebody that's there, doggone like a first lady.
That's,
you know,
like Jason Williams' wife. I forgot her name.
Yeah. That was Jason Williams' wife. Yeah, that's what. And you know, you didn't picture her to be with Jason Williams because she didn't look like somebody that he would pick. She didn't have that typical hoochie mama look. She looked like a teacher or Afrocentric sister. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like somebody that's real cultural. That, you know, that had a lot of culture to her.
Right.
And I think that's how the basketball wives, I think they should portray more basketball wives like that, like in a positive role model. I think Lala is a perfect example of a basketball wife. That's when you think of a basketball wife, that's what you're thinking of Lala. You're thinking these guys probably get the best girls they could get. You're not looking at Tammy. You know, you're thinking like, you know, we know Kenny Anderson used to drink, so that's how we know Tammy might have came up here. You know, a lot of things are good when you're drinking.
But, you know, when you break it down, some of these ballers, these guys, the basketball guys, they are not very classy men either. So, you know, when they are attracted to some of these ladies, I think it's a reflection of them, of who they are as well. So I think a lot of times when they're picking certain women, it's who they're attracted to because where they might have come from, their upbringing. Like if you watch the Basketball Wives L.A., who's the guy? Meta World Peace. He calls himself now.
Mm.
You know, his wife, she's a hood girl, and they're both from Queensbridge.
Oh, you're talking about Ron Artest.
Ron Artest, yes.
Well,
she's a hood girl, and so is he. He's a hood guy.
But you know what I like about her? That's his girl. He always had. See, that's the one. I know that for a fact because through the basketball thing. I followed his career back when I was working with a clothing line, and before he even got into the pros, we was trying to get him to wear the clothes, and I was dealing with him and his father. And that girl right there been with him from the beginning.
Yeah, I know.
And
but
so
they're privately divorced, actually, now. Secretly got divorced. But
But she's like, you know, she's like the girl from Queensbridge Project. Like, she's from Queensbridge Project. She's that typical girl. I thought her role was pretty cool because that's the girl he met when he ain't have nothing.
Right. I actually liked her on the show.
Yeah,
I didn't really care for them at all.
Yeah, because she was real. I thought she was the realest one because she came in with an attitude that I could really see, like, listen, I'm like, that's how you could tell she was really his girl. Like, listen, I don't know about y'all, but I've been with Ron before he got into the basketball. I'm not a basketball wife. I'm his wife. He just so happened to be a basketball player now.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So, like Laura, the Laura. She's just like, little sister flipping around on every basketball player that big sister bring to her.
Laura is, I think, the older one, isn't she?
Oh, she older. Well, all right, she older, but Gloria is the one that really got the Matt Barnes. You know, she's the one who really got the play. Gloria was mixing with Greg Louganis, I think, one time, but and got kids by him, but they never showed her.
Is that the diving dude that had HIV?
No. She was the other dude. He got to send my name to him, the basketball dude. I don't even like
Greg Louganis. He was gay.
No. It's a basketball dude with a little name like that. He got a little funny name like that. I forget his name. I said his name wrong, but excuse me.
Well, that's what I thought was funny about some of those ladies who are talking about, oh, they don't want such and such around their man, like Royce. They didn't want Royce around their man because
they always
groupies. But they all groupies. Because
If
you look at the situation, look at Evelyn, who admitted that, you know, she didn't have a father in her life, so she was looking for the wrong things and everything. And then she slept with Tammy's husband while they were married.
Yep.
And now they're trying to clean it up and say, well, they weren't married or they weren't together at the time. No,
she's a football wife now. She should be a football wife. That's Ocho's girl now. And her man is a hoe. Ocho had a show on how many girls he dated at one time, you know? So she's crazy with them. I think they're a publicity stunt.
You really think so?
I think they're a publicity stunt. I mean, she's making money. I give it to her. One thing to say about her, if you can curse a person out and make a shirt over it and get paid, you're doing the right thing, you know? She's made effing factor, and that shirt is selling.
Right.
There's a lot of bougie girls walking around there talking about you a non-effing factor. You know, that's the bougie girl gear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
bougie
but
girl
you know
t-shirt.
What? She's not really bougie. I mean, she's from the Bronx. She's a hood girl too, you know. But if you look at the show, she portrays herself very much as a hood girl who is trying to be something else, but she's nothing but a hood girl fighting in upscale restaurants and, you know, throwing bottles and drinks at people.
Now, you know who taught them all a lesson? Remember the other girl that fought Gloria's sister?
Oh, yes.
Now, she flipped on them. She came with the bougie, boom, boom, boom. But she let them know, listen, I'll get ghetto when it need to be time. I'm from Compton. I ain't never said I wasn't from Compton. She even got far as bringing her cousins and sister to the match. And they can say what they want, but Laura and Gloria were scared at the end of the day.
Yes. Gloria talks a lot about beating people up, but I don't think she's any match for that young lady.
Gloria, every time they get in front of people's faces, she's Well, I'm just glad that we just got this all straight, you know. That's her claim to fame. Laura throw a couple of punches, but
Cap doesn't like the basketball reality shows.
Any show that ends with wives.
But yo, you can't say that, Cap, because me and you are producers of a show that ends with wives.
What is it? Project Wives, what is it?
Remember we said the Streetball Wives.
Streetball Wives.
Streetball Players.
Yeah, we're going to bring it in a different perspective. But real quick, though, I just want to give a quick shout out to Liz Irvin. I call her Liz the Librarian. She chimed in a little earlier on the Beastu Radio Facebook page. Earlier she chimed in about the Rainbow Shop versus Chanel, and if I read this correct, I guess she feels that a dude wouldn't want to do anyone whose entire attire is Chanel. I'm not sure if I'm reading that right, Liz. I know Liz is still listening. Liz actually was a part of she brought a team with her that her son plays on to Showboat.
Okay, that's what's up.
Yeah, she just chimed in. So shout out to Liz. You can go to facebook.com/BeastuRadio. Chime in. We're talking about the attire. We're in overtime again, as usual. It's a 30-minute show, but it usually goes past that, you know, especially when DJ Big Stu starts stirring the pot. The meal ain't done yet.
She always got some good conversation, man. Every time I run into her, she always got something hot topic. You know, that's why I guess this is hot talk, because there's always something hot on this station to talk about. This show
to
talk about.
That's why this is Beef Stew Radio. He's stirring the pot.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I say, let's pour out the Housewives show stuff. That's killing me.
This is what I need to know, man. I want you to tell everybody out there in the public, all the audience, why are you so anti certain things? Yeah, you like the communist dude, man. You know, you like the dude that live in the house on the hill. You don't like nothing, you know.
Yo, man, I hate them shows, man. I hate them all. It's the same thing, man. I even wrote it on my Facebook before, and I said Basketball Wives should be renamed Old Ass Super Senior High School Chicks. They got nothing better to do but argue with each other.
Yeah.
That's all.
You're not welcome in the circle, bitch. Why are you doing this, this, and this?
I'm like, yo, I saw all of that in high school. I saw the show.
They kill me with the you're not welcome in the circle, too. They really kill me with that one.
Like, yeah, they welcome in the circle. They're getting a check to be in a doggone circle.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And then they get mad on a reunion and be like, y'all don't tape everything. But what about the crazy one that got married 16 years?
Oh, 16 times, Jackie Christie.
That's crazy.
Yes. Well, she's mental anyway. You could see that from just watching the show. I didn't actually like Basketball Wives LA. For the record, I won't be a repeat watcher if they get another season because I thought that every character on there was fake, and I was just not feeling any of them.
Yeah.
And I think they all have mental problems.
She was really crazy. I ain't gonna lie, dog. He's crazy because I don't care. I love my girl. I love her to death. But I'm going to marry her one time and one time only.
Yeah.
You know, your pops ain't going to put the shotgun to my back 16 times and make me walk the line.
Well, you know, renewing of the vows is cute, you know, after, I don't know, maybe say 10 years or more. But getting married every year, that's too stressful. That's just crazy. And it's a waste of money.
And you know, everybody that comes to that wedding be like, yeah, they crazy asses invited us again, but we just going to go get drunk. People just be talking about going to get drunk and do everything for free. Because they say, yeah, them two crazy MFs is getting married again.
I guess that's a way to get gifts every year, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
But after a while, after 16 years, people stop bringing gifts, man.
Yeah, I don't think people bring them gifts.
Real black families stop bringing gifts. You know,
I bring them a toaster every year.
You know, people start coming just for coming, you know. There ain't going to be no bringing no gifts. Real black families, man, I'm telling you, they start coming like, well, I bought them that last year. They know I bought 3 years in a row, I bought them something. I'm going to do 3 years for free.
And I wonder where's Doug Christie's gravy train coming from? Because how is he affording to have all these weddings every year?
And he wasn't a player like that, Kappa.
That,
I mean, he made money, but he wasn't like one of those type of players, you know?
Well, maybe he has some investment somewhere. Maybe he has a bunch of businesses. Who knows?
You know,
but
her clothes, do you consider her clothes sexy?
What she was wearing or what she was trying to peddle?
But what she was wearing is some of the stuff she tries to sell.
Well, I thought her clothes looked ridiculous, and I think she has no fashion sense. But I didn't think it was too sexy. No, not at all. I mean, she's trying to be sexy, but it just looks like an old lady trying to wear a short skirt.
She came off like she was schooling them. The first thing she did is she got rid of Jason Williams' wife. But that was the person that was intimidating her. That was the other older person there. And Jason Williams right has some real elegance. And she got rid of her off the back. She like just went at her and targeted her off the back.
Right.
I'm sorry, Cap. What you want us to talk about? All My Children? Because me and Mimi can sit down and talk about All My Children too right now. You know,
yeah,
I'm a soap opera fan.
You're going to make it worse.
No, he want to talk about that WWE reality show.
No, come on. I was making a joke.
But we can talk about, now, what about the midgets? Now, let me ask you something.
Midgets?
This is a question, Mimi. Now, what about when the midgets wear skimpy stuff? There's a rash of midgets trying to be sexy right now.
There's some sexy midgets out there, man.
There's a bunch of sexy midgets running around with the hair done, like, you know how girls get your hair done all long, and they wearing little stuff.
Well,
it's already little.
Midget or regular style, I think there's a way to do things, and if you do it right, you can be sexy. And I think there's a way to take things overboard and go too far because you want attention.
That's can a midget wear a miniskirt?
I guess if she gets it tailored or she makes it herself.
Because a miniskirt is a dress on a midget.
Well, she would have to probably wear like
midget.
A little girl
no
miniskirt.
No disrespect to the midgets out there.
No, but maybe she buy it. Maybe the size is like, let me tell you something. When I used to work and I'm not going to say the project because I don't want to call a midget out because they're the only midget over there. Everybody know who I'm talking about. But she's probably a little fly little midget. You know, she be having a little contacts in there, getting the hair done. You know, she got her kids. The kids be fresh, you know. Actually, one of the sons had all the little girls chasing them, and they midgets too, you know. But the little son, he was like kind of cool. And when I used to be working, all the little girls be chasing them, you know what I mean? You know, they bully him because they bigger than him and stuff. But you can tell they like him, you know.
Right.
They was roughing them up. And she had a lot of dudes going at her, man. You know what I'm saying? She had a lot of dudes going at her. I was like, you know, she'd come with, she wore all the latest styles. You know, she wore everything. But, you know, it looked like she just bought the little stuff like younger girls would buy, you know?
Yeah, well, attraction is attraction. If a person can make themselves look presentable, I don't think it matters if they're 6 feet tall or 2 feet two.
Right. That's just a short woman, like
right.
Tiny. What is she, like 4'9"?
Yeah, but she's not a midget.
Almost.
What's Tiny?
Tiny, T.I.'s wife.
She stopped at the neck. Nah. Nah, I'm just playing. Mm-hmm. I like Tiny. I like her style. She did.
I like Tiny too.
All y'all out there, I joke around to everybody. I don't be serious. I just say my little jokes. You know, that's
yeah,
just what I do.
Serious. We like Tiny here on this.
Yeah,
show.
I like. Yeah, Tiny. I like her style. I like Tiny and the other one that's on basketball. I mean, Housewives. Candy. You know.
Candy.
Yeah. I like Cap. You should like Candy. She's a producer. She's in. You know. She did her thing, man. Like, you know. I like what they did, both of them. When you really look at them, they both are positive women. What I think is so fly about T.I. and Tiny is that they got their daughter doing her thing. You know.
Yeah.
And she's actually out there for real. Like they're really promoting her. So I think that's fly about it.
Yeah.
You know. But I was just joking when I said the other thing, you know. But you know, they used to be called that. You know. You know, a lot of MCs took...
Biggie,
yeah. A couple other dudes, too, but I can't remember. But I think two more dudes took some to escape, yeah. You know.
I think Biggie made him most famous, though.
Yeah, Biggie set it off. I don't know. What we gonna do, man? Hello?
Somebody's wilding in the control room. What's going on?
It was a little technical difficulty. Yeah, K Nicole is in the building and
Hey,
K
Nicole, how you doing?
Hi.
I would love for you to weigh in on this topic because we are talking about sexy attire and if harassment is warranted. What do you think about that type of thing?
I think a woman should be able to wear what she want to wear.
How she wanna wear it.
Hold on for a second.
Is it better now?
Still too close.
Hello?
Technical difficulties.
Yes.
Y'all sound like Kid Capri right now.
Can you hear it now?
Microphone. There you go. One microphone. Now we good.
Good.
All right. I'm in here. Okay. So I'm sorry, Mimi.
It's okay.
Go ahead. Y'all continue.
Yes, we want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear what you think about this topic. You said that you feel that women should be able to wear what they want to wear.
Yeah, I don't think they need to get harassed because of the outfit. If the woman is tight and sexy and all that, does she have to be harassed? No, you can have your ideas. You can have your thoughts of what you feel about her. But do you have to harass her? No, I don't think you have to harass her.
But should a woman expect that to come depending on what they wear? Do they know?
So you feel like if every man comes out with his nice little tank top or whatever, that a female should just start harassing him?
Yeah, but dudes look forward to that. And dudes wear those type of things because they want to be looked at and they want that attention.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the female want to get looked at too, but she don't have to get harassed. It might come with the territory. Yeah, right.
And that's what I'm saying. The tighter your clothes, and you walk in the right settings, in the right places, the right neighborhoods, and the dudes are going to look, and some of them aren't going to be able to control their mouth, and they're going to say something.
So let me ask you, what about the girls that get drunk 4 a.m. and walk with that same outfit on through, you know, certain neighborhoods, you know? So are they, you know, do they think they bring in any risk to themselves?
Yeah, but they're inebriated, so you can't even use logic is gone when inebriation's in there. Mm-hmm. The girl get drunk and go out scantily clad, her expectations are just done because she's drunk.
Yeah, I think when you're getting drunk, you're asking for trouble, regardless of what you dress like.
If you walking through the neighborhood or drunk and tight and sexy, you asking for what you asking for.
Right.
Well,
but I think dudes can't, you know, a lot of dudes can't help it. And just to kind of further that point, really what happens is the more sexy a woman dresses in a crowd of people who are not dressed as sexy, they're more likely to be harassed. If the women all start dressing, covering themselves up, then the woman whose body kind of stands out through that is going to get more of the harassment. And if they're all the same body type and all covered up, then the woman with the prettiest face or the woman that looks like she may be giving somebody a shot is the one that's going to be harassed. So it really doesn't matter overall. Dudes are going to look no matter. Because some people go, well, if you cover yourself up, yeah, if you cover yourself up while someone else is taking the attention away from you, then you're not going to get harassed.
What about the women that put on the sexy clothes but that not supposed to put on the sexy clothes?
Well, like the one that has the big Jesus cross in their cleavage?
Oh, no, remember the one that was out in the showboat that day that had that she looked at like she had like 700 pounds but she had a bathing suit on?
Oh, well, yeah. We're talking about, like,
women like that. She felt
well,
like she was
you,
sexy that
somebody
day.
Somebody that like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like,
some old dude somewhere around the line, or some old man. Because first of all, she was like 6'3", 6'2". She might have been about, what you say, Cap? 400-500 pounds for real?
Yeah, maybe four.
You can't forget this lady. It was wrong for the kids to have to see this on the court. It was like a tragedy. It was a sin. This lady was 500 pounds with a bathing suit on in the basketball game. And
yeah,
flip-flops.
She don't know how to dress.
Huh?
Just there?
She, well, I guess one of her kids was playing, and he was embarrassed, whatever kid that was. He didn't want to say that was his mom or nothing. You know what I'm saying? He hid on the bench.
That's sad.
And she sat right in front of everybody. She had a beach chair. She set it up right in front of all the benches.
You know,
see,
someone like that wants attention.
But she was
divorced. She was about 52 years old, man. Let me put that into the flex, too. That's something else that we... So you 552 pounds, that 500 pounds and 52 years old and with a bathing suit in a basketball game. And about, I could say, about maybe 100 yards of cellulite.
But at 52, I guess she figured she could wear whatever she wants. She done made her rounds, you know?
Well, am I going to play some music today?
Yeah, why not?
I really did a nice set, man. I really put my work, I put my records out, man.
I think you should, man. We, you know.
Captain's been getting on my back lately, y'all. You know what I'm saying? He's been breaking me down. I'm trying to together.
What are you talking about, Mike? So we could punt it over. Mimi, closing words on this topic where we always go overtime on?
Closing words. Do we deserve to get harassed because we like to dress sexy? I don't think so. I don't think it's warranted. However, you got to know there's some jerks out there. You got to know that when you wear the scantily clad clothing that you're going to get this bad attention, and it could be from a male or it could be from a female. So look sexy, but know that there's a way to do it. And I'm Mimi. This is Tout Talk. And I'm going to give you over to DJ Big Stu.
Yeah. I like that, Mimi. That was a good last joint, you know. But we gotta take the little station identification break. We gotta throw it down.
This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now we're talking about beef stew.
Beef stew. Try this beef stew.
Yeah. That was a great show. You know what I'm saying? Always well, always great talking to, you know, me and the Kappa. They always got some hot topics, hot talk. That's what the name of the show is, Hot Talk. Make sure you check it out every Saturday at 10 p.m. In the building with me is the lady herself, Kay Nicole.
Hello, Kay Nicole in the building.
You know, Kay Nicole's in the building. She had a great show last night for all y'all that listened in to last night. Big shouts out to Q Poppy that called in there. Poppy, I don't know where you at or where you're from, Poppy, but you was very, very funny, and you held us men down, Poppy. Make sure you keep calling in, you know what I mean? Earlier in the show, you guys might have heard the Shy Lights commercial. Yes, me and the Kappa will be interviewing, you know what I'm saying, on Mr. Marshall Thompson next Thursday. We will be interviewing him 8 p.m. Make sure y'all be there. It's going to be hot. We're going to play some of the Shy Light music. We're going to sit down and talk with him about some of the new things he's doing. We're going to, you know, reminisce and go down the line and reminisce with him through, you know, through it all. And it's going to be a great interview. And also myself, I will be mixing and doing a tribute to the Shy Lights. So make sure you tune into that after the interview. But tonight, I am in the building. I'm feeling real good. I have been on a little vacation for a little while. So, you know, I haven't been rocking like I usually rock. But I got Kay Nicole in the building with me. You ready for what I'm about ready to throw down, Kay Nicole?
Well, you know, one thing I want to say, that is real big, DJ Big Stu. The Shy Lights, I can't wait to hear it.
But I'm about ready to play some music that might be before your time, Kay Nicole. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what? I know a little something.
Well, we're gonna see what you know right now, because I'm gonna start it off. I'm gonna do three damn brands, and later on in the show, what I plan to do later on in the show is play some real hot joints, from back in the days that, you know, a lot of rap records came from, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of joints, when you hear them, you're going to be like, oh, snap, I remember that music. You know, because, you know, you're young, so you might just think it's a rap record, but it's going to actually be the original record that they took and made that from. But before we get into that, you know, I'm going to get into some rooftop music. I call this rooftop music because this is how they used to do it back in the days on the 155th and the rooftop when they used to go down. So, you know?
Rooftop music.
We're going to take a little 20 minutes of rooftop, and I'm going to come back and we're going to do it up. Let's do it like we do it.
Thank you. let the good things pass me by. And then one day I asked myself the reason why. And like an answer from above, you came into my life.
Yeah, we doing this real big with your man DJ Big T. You know how I do. We do this big on the Uptown Saturday Jam every night, every Saturday after me and me do the hot talk thing. We do it real big. You know how we do it. I'm going to keep it going for a little while, one more on this one, you know what I mean? Big shout out to everybody up in Harlem. Big shout out to all my homies up in Brooklyn and my homies in the Boogie Down. Big shout out to definitely my people down in LES. My man Georgie George, what's good? I know you in the building. Big shout out to the whole family down at Jacob Reed. Let's do it like this, y'all.
Let's make a toast to those who help make this occasion. Big sugar bag.
Playground, my man DJ T, you know what I mean, DJ Thomas from out of Lehman Project, he used to be rocking in 108 Park, the schoolyard 108 Park, and he used to be jamming this joint right here. I remember T used to play all these smooth joints like that, had dudes dancing in the circle, doing their little freestyle dance. That's how we used to do it back in the days, y'all. What's good? We're in the building. Once again, you know who it is. It's your man, the number one DJ coming straight out of Harlem. I'm not going to say I'm the number number one DJ, but I'm a soul survivor. Why they call me the soul survivor? Because I play that music, I dig in them crates, and I bring back the memories. And then on the flip side, I definitely expose you to that new music. So the soul survivor, DJ Big Stu, coming out of Harlem on the number one radio station coming out of Harlem. I can say that. Yes, for shizzle, for sizzle, my, you know. Anyway, that's my man RJ be telling me that stuff. I do that because, you know, RJ got me on that Frankie Crocker slash Don Cornelius type of stuff. Can't wait to bring my man RJ to the station, man. He's going to bring a breath of fresh air. You know what I'm saying? He's got a lot of experience with him. He does his thing, you know what I mean? And, you know, and then RJ always got a poem before we start the show. Every time RJ starts the show, you know, he always got some type of sling, some type of saying, and that's just how he gets down. You know, he's original. And that's what we do at Beast Through Radio. Originality, that's what counts. Anyway, big shouts out to everybody who tuned in last night to K. Nicole Hot Show. Topic was Cougars versus Sugar Daddies. And Sugar Daddies won. Cougars won, actually. Cougars was the hot talk. Big shouts to my man Q Poppy came on and killed it. Yeah. Anyway, we are going to be at a lot of places, man. We're doing a lot of things this summer. Stay tuned and be, you know what I mean? Stay tuned because, you know, we're going to be having live footage and live coverage at a lot of places, man. You know, I got a whole schedule of places and starting next week, a whole new schedule of new interviews, man. So, you know, we're doing it. Once again, we told you that we're interviewing Marshall Thompson of the Shy Lights next Thursday, me and the Cap, 8 p.m., you know what I mean? Just to give y'all a little reminder of that, you know, I got a...
You know the name. You remember the hits.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the legendary Shy Life featuring Marshall Thompson.
For over 50 years, the legendary Shylights have performed all over the world to standing room only crowds. And now here's a brand new hit from the only original remaining member of this fabulous group. Marantz Records proudly present Hold On to Your Dreams from the Shylights, featuring Marshall Thompson.
This whole world is very cold. It is not for the young or old.
Also from the Shylights, Low Key, and Still in My Head. Hold On to Your Dreams from the legendary Shylights, featuring Marshall Thompson.
Yeah, we in the building. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, what's good?
Yeah, hi. Are you speaking to me?
Yes, I am, sir.
Yeah, well, good evening, sir.
How are you?
Since we're being formal, I'm fine. Yeah, this is Mr. Solution.
Hey, Mr. Solution from last night. What's going on, brother?
All right. Well, look here. I have a few thoughts to develop on this subject, and I know they're not politically correct because we tend to be underdeveloped, very much underdeveloped on the relationship of men and women. Now, I think some of it is deliberate, but at any rate, here goes. You know, the statement has been said, and I think appropriately paralleled, is that if a person is dressed as a police officer and you run up to them and say, "Officer, I was just mugged," and they say, "Why are you approaching me? I'm not a, you know, police officer." Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at the person quizzically and you say, "Well, wait a minute, you're dressed as a police officer." So the thing of it is that dress does designate, you know, oftentimes who one is. Mm-hmm. If wait a minute, does that make sense? First of all,
I mean, I kind of get where you're going with it. You're trying to say, well, you know, the way that women are dressing, that's a representation of who she is.
Well, not just women, the way
men
people
too?
Dress. Period.
Okay.
Not just women. See, we don't need to. We can expand it in order to get a panoramic view.
No,
and make some sense of this. Because
our question was if, you know, when do women that dress, you know, showing basically enticing, do they deserve to be harassed like, you know, women get? And how you feel about that?
Well, yeah, but what I wanted to do is just like a tree, its roots mm-hmm. anchor it. So okay. I wanted to just develop some ideas around the way that we use dress, period,
okay.
to make the point that, yeah, when women tend to speak vis-a-vis their dress. In other words, many women are walking billboards. You know, like little girls want to dress up in high heel shoes and mother's lipstick because they know that transfers a certain power.
Mm-hmm.
And so since women tend to fail to speak what they really want, many of them are like little babies, they dress in such a way, you hear this quotation, attract, 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 or the law of attraction. So, yes, women do dress in a way to attract attention. The only problem with that, they don't designate whom they want to attract. And, you know, it's not like they have a neon sign on their face, on their forehead saying, I'm only attracting guys that are, you know, that fit this description. So, sure, the way women, it's just like whores. If you walk down any street or drive down any street where whores proliferate, you see that they dress in a certain way. Mm. And now, obviously we need to take this with some balance. But, yes, women do dress in ways to get attention. And when men show them attention, a lot of times because they're immature, you know, they act inappropriately. But what I would suggest is that women be able to say what they want as well as dress the part. Don't just dress the part and not be able to state what you want, but be able to do both, if that makes sense to you.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense. It's funny that you called today because now that you call, Chew Poppy called the show again, too. So I guess.
What's up? What happened? What's up, Mrs. Blue Chin? What happened?
Hey, what's going on, sir?
I'm good because I'm listening to what you're saying. Sometimes it's like 747, you know, the airplane fly very high. You use the words. And I like that your vocabulary is good. But I'm trying to understand what you're saying. So you're telling me that because a woman, she looked like a duck and dressed like a duck, and then she's a duck? Or do you think that maybe these girls are confusing themselves to the man as well?
Well, that's a practical way of putting it, and I appreciate that particular description. But what we're really saying is women oftentimes are like little babies. You know, babies don't have the ability to actually communicate their desires. So when they're crying, they just make one sound, crying, and we have to go searching for what they really want. Are they wet? Are they, you know, have they pooped on themselves, et cetera? Are they hungry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Now, when babies get grown up, we expect them to what? Opine, to state what they want. Oftentimes, women, and this is particularly in American society, are coddled. They're never allowed to really grow up. And there are a lot of areas that we don't deal with that impact on women's inability to grow up. And I'll just throw one out. We don't require women to register for the Selective Service. And we do require all males to. But the point is that women do dress in ways to attract and to say things that they often will not say with their mouths. And that creates a problem. That's a problem.
Mm.
Because
about
we have
that,
many women, they're little girls in adult female bodies. Now, I'm not
mm-hmm.
saying all, so we don't have to pull out the all ignorant police.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that too many women have not developed the ability and the intestinal fortitude to actually say what they want. And I've actually, given women guidance along this lines. I was talking to, a very nice lady, but she was ignorant in this area, and she was telling me how she dressed once upon a time in this tight leather suit, and men were coming on to her. And I said, well, you may not have been a whore, but you were dressed like one. And she understood that. When I explained it to her, she understood it, to her credit.
So, okay, so see, wait. I want to know this. You a pimp or something? You a pimp or something?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Say it again, please.
No, that if you a pimp.
Well, let me say, it's interesting you brought that up. No, I'm not a pimp. But pimps, let me just say this. Pimps and macs and guys like that, they understand women on a level that most of us never do. They understand the mind of women. There's another word I'm trying to think of, but I think pimp is good enough. In other words, men who are really good with women, who are good at manipulating women and this sort of thing, they understand who women really are, not the facade that we try and attribute to women. So oftentimes, if a woman wants to have sex, she many times will not say that. Because if you think about how you have sex with a woman, the man is supposed to go through all the different gyrations of testing her to determine when and whether she wants to have sex, juxtaposed to her just being able to say, I would like to make love with you, I'd like to have sex with you, and this sort of thing. I talk to women about rape, and a lot of rape is false accusation, and it does relate to dress and this sort of thing. But a lot of women don't want to acknowledge that they play a huge role in the signals and miscommunication that occurs between they and men.
So let me ask you, when you deal with your ladies, being the, you know, I still think you're a pimp, but when you deal with the ladies, you look at, like, do you tell them what it is, are you a listener, or do you just tell them whatever you want them to know, and then they have to accept it or not?
Absolutely, the latter.
Now you tell them the deal. Say, look, bitch, you're a whore, and that's it. And that's it, and it works for you? It works?
Well, let me just say this. I think telling a woman the truth works whether she's accepting of it or not, because I think there's so much game playing and pussyfooting and BSing around that, see, I'm a man of quality. I don't have a lot of time to waste with a chicken head, and I don't care what her degrees are or what she says she has accomplished. A lot of women are very undeveloped in the relationship area. And as soon as men can say that, especially quality men, the further along to real communication there will be between men and women. Now, notice that no bad guys, no players, no ballers, they don't hang around this particular joint. They're out doing what they do. Only fairly decent guys call into a show and have these kind of discussions. Do you guys follow that, and do you agree? How do you feel about that?
It's very interesting. I feel that, you know, it could go either way. You know what I'm saying? I really feel it could go either way. You could tell a woman the truth, and it could work for you. And I feel whatever works for the individual male, you know what I'm saying?
But what I was asking, do you think guys who are players and who are successful with women call in and talk about issues like this on a show like this?
Some dudes do it for different reasons. Some dudes do it like you. They want to voice their opinion, and some dudes do it for recognition or to try to get publicity or to try to get women to notice them. So, yeah, I think I've seen guys come on shows, but some guys are not telling true facts. Some guys are bragging about, you know, what they feel, and it's not really something that's true. And some guys like yourself, you know, you're basing it on facts and studies that you've done and what you've talked to women. So I feel, yeah, I think it would be a few guys. It all depends on the guy, and all depends on the reason why he's coming on the show.
Yeah, well, my position would be guys who are good with women and who are good at tricking and playing games, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, this isn't.
Thank you. I recommend Tariq Nasheed's book. Tariq does this all the time, and he talk about relationships, and he is pretty good at it. I like his wisdom. Now, sometimes when he gets on shows, he retracts, and I was disappointed at one show he was on. He didn't really bring it like he does on his, I think it's MacLessonsRadio.com. But anyway, he wrote a book called The Art of Macking. And really what he described in his book was high-tech warfare between men and women. And he even said that. Now, he didn't use those words, but basically what he said is he was teaching men game to keep from getting gamed by women. Because women actually have the initial advantage. Until guys learn how to deal with women, how to deal with the games that they play and this sort of thing, women are actually winning because women are able to get meals off of guys. They're able to flirt and this sort of thing, get monetary benefits from guys. In other words, they're able to pimp guys. Many women are pimps themselves. Follow that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
for sure.
So you when you do your study, you get it from different sources, or is it all based on your own experience? Like, were you a pimp, and then also you were pimped, or something like that? And that's the question.
Yeah, I'm not a pimp, but look, I do.
No, but have you been pimped before? Have a woman pimped you before?
Okay, I'm not a pimp, but I do consult pimps. And I think Tyreek calls himself.
You evading the question, Papi. What happened? I asked you yourself that a woman pimped you before. Has that ever happened to you?
Well, No. I have paid for dates until I understood. This is a maturation process, by the way. Relating to other people is a process. Okay. I don't believe that's the reason I'm a proponent, and what I'm saying right now is I'm just uncovering, hopefully, some of the problems that we have in communication. But I tell women to be upfront and straightforward. Talk to men. Talk to a variety of men. Invite them to the park. If a woman is interested in getting to know a man, that's what I encourage her to do, invite him to the park and have a conversation with them, walk and talk, or sit and talk, either one. But sure, I think every man that has cracked the womb has had a heartbreak by women, because generally we aren't taught by our parents how to deal with women, particularly. And I think that can change if we talk about it enough. But oftentimes parents are very reticent to, discuss the real issues of life with their children. That's the reason so many of us grow up and we have to learn, quote unquote, the hard way. And that's particularly true. Remember, there's no course, as it were, on relationships. We may go to college and get an education. We may go to apprentice school, this sort of thing. But who teaches us about each other? Generally, no one. Okay?
Correct me if I'm wrong, if I don't get your nationality or your culture together, but you remind me a little bit like an African American, like Dr. Phil or something like that.
Well, my position is to, deliver the truth. And you asked me a question earlier. Let me just respond to this. You asked me a poly question, actually. Yes, any researcher looks at the information, both their own experience and the information provided by others. And I talk to people all the time, such as yourself. And I try to ask for direct and specific answers as often as I can, because I know this is a cloudy situation. And the cloudiness of the situation of the male-female experience tends to perpetuate itself. In other words, we're confused about what's going on, and we tend to pass on and perpetuate that confusion. Now, I tell women who I think have the great – I wrote the 7 principles to love, sex, and dating, and there's 7 results. And I'm focusing those on women because I'm a relationship troubleshooter. So my position is to come in and see where communication is experiencing the greatest blockage. Okay, just like your sewer, when it's got an occlusion in it, when it's, backing up, there's a blockage.
I don't mean to cut you, I'm sorry. And Stu, I'm sorry, I feel like I'm taking your show.
Yeah, well, I'm getting ready, I was getting ready to tell you guys, thank you guys, man, for chiming in on that conversation, but I got to get back into the music. I've got people hit me on Facebook asking me to play that music, man. But Mr. Solution, man, is always glad. I always like you calling in, man. I appreciate you, man.
Hey, well, I appreciate you too. And I say women should speak more, have a greater conversation, and depend less on their attire to speak for them.
All right.
And I say they should be quiet and bend down and put the booty in the air. That's me.
Yeah. All right, so back
okay,
to the
Mr.
music.
Solution, I'm sorry.
Back to the music. Hold on, before we get into no, you know what? I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna take another caller. I see the 6778 caller, but I'm gonna play a little music for a little while, and I'm gonna come back, and we're gonna see what they have to say about the situation. But let's do this.
Sorry.
about who you were with, too. When I saw you last night, I could easily see she was holding you so tight, 'cause she knows you want me. Oh no, but she can't love you.
I think I got in the building. Is that Mama Kim in the building?
Yes, Mama Kim.
Mama Kim, you seem upset. You seem like you ain't like what you heard.
I certainly didn't, and I came in on the tail end of it.
Well, what
you say? Shanique got a problem with his theory. Did he say women, by the way they dress, are hoes? The ones that dress prerogative? I've met more hoes in three-piece suits in corporate world than I did cake top and spandex. Is he for real?
Mama Kim.
That's Kayna,
is he for real?
Well, that's Kay Nicole says she agreed with you.
It sounds like to me Sarusha got burnt and burnt bad, because everything he had to say was negative about a woman. Now, what if we turn the tables and say all men that wear their pants hanging off their mind, are they somebody's bitches?
Okay. That's deep.
He needs to check himself or he wreck himself. And this is what he just got through saying. He totally crashed and burned.
So you don't feel nothing's true about what the brother was saying?
No.
But the brother's a relationship expert.
Of his own that crashed and burnt? Of his own relationship that burnt the crash?
I don't know. The brother's still on the line. You know, it would only be worthy to let him speak for himself.
You know
himself,
what, Mr. Solution? If you want to respond back, hit the one.
Mr. Solution, you still there?
I'm here.
All right. Did you hear what Mama Kim stated to you?
Yes. I heard most of what she said, but let me just say this, and this just, you know, I just cry out in desperation, because I can tell that most blacks are not conversational capable, and she didn't hear what I was saying. Yes, some women dress for attention because they have the lack of communication ability. And I'm talking about effective communication ability. The relationship situation between black men and women in the black community is horrid. It's extremely low, and most people who are in a relationship are in a hostile relationship. Now, I'm not saying all, but, you know, this lady sounds like someone who is just acting on emotion, has really not looked at the facts. And I think that is what will bury blacks and keep blacks buried, is because they don't look at this situation between the man and the woman in a factual way. It's all emotion, and it's all downhill. It's not just me. I have some stories about women who went to Ivy League universities and still dated thugs. One of them, I think her name is Taisha, she was shot in the head, a very brilliant woman, and killed instantly. She was 26 years old, but she hooked up with this thug who was selling drugs and T-shirts out of the apartment that they shared. And, of course, some other thugs broke in, robbed them, put a sheet over her head, and shot her in the head. Most blacks are either ignorant or lying about the general situation layout between black men and black women. But I encourage you to go to YouTube and look at where black men and black women are having a cyber war, and you will find that it's stupid or very inaccurate to say it's just me having a problem. Actually, I'm living in the lap of luxury. I'm just calling in, sharing some conversational information. I'm a happy person. I'm a solvent person. I'm a healthy person, okay? So she has the wrong person. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Mama Kim, you want to respond back to that?
Yeah, Solution. You tell me I have the wrong person, and you tell me that I'm speaking from emotion.
Yes.
Partly so I am.
Okay.
But I don't like the fact that it's referred to women dressing the way they feel comfortable in dressing. It has sometimes nothing to do with communication. Sometimes we dress to suit the way we feel.
Okay, let me ask you a question, if I may. When you get a moment, let me ask you a very pointed question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if you had a daughter that was 12 years old and she wanted to go out the door, you were standing there at the threshold of the door, and she was attempting to walk out the door with all her cleavage showing, with camel toe, with all of her buttocks showing. If she was wearing something that just showed her body in an inappropriate way, you as a mother, what would you have to say to your young daughter?
First of all, I wouldn't allow my daughter to walk out there because she's 12 and she doesn't know how to carry herself.
Okay, say she was 16. Say she was 16. Let's move the age range up a little bit. Say she was 16, and you were standing in that same place. What would you have to say? You didn't let her do it at 12, so she tried to do it at 16. What would you have to say?
She still wouldn't be able to do it at 16.
Okay, very good. Now, at 23, she dressed the same slutty way. She attempted to go out the house. You're the mother standing there at the threshold. What would you have to say to her?
Now, that's a different story. She's a grown woman. And at that point, I will hold my lessons that I taught her from birth until that age was set in, and that she would look in the mirror before she walked out that door.
Okay, well, that's fine. And I appreciate your honesty, because I think having this face-to-face conversation with you is good. But still, she attempted to go out the door. You're her mother. She's 23. You still have some guidance ability over her. What do you say to her? She's showing her body inappropriately vis-a-vis her dress. What do you as a mother have to say to her?
I would say, can you handle the comments that will come back at you with the way that you are dressed?
Okay, so you would acknowledge that her dress was inappropriate, correct?
Yes, I would.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And see, we had to spend this time together for you to, you agreed with me on three different points. Do you follow that?
I agree with you on one point. It's about age and being able to handle the comments that come back at you. You understand? 12 and 16, 23, she's grown. I have no control by law or by any other way. But as a mother, I will ask her to take a look at herself in the mirror, and if she feels comfortable and she can handle what comes at her, then so be it.
Yeah, as the mother, you always have input. I understand the age of majority. I understand the law quite well. Thank you. I understand that. But what I'm saying, as a mother and someone who's concerned for the inappropriate attention that your daughter may draw by exposing her body, you do provide guidance regardless as to what age she is. Is that correct?
Not at the young age, yes, but at the older age, they tend to do what they want to do. And I'm
But that's not the point. Wait. See, the point is you as a mother, you just said that you would really advise her. You can't tell her to go in there and undress at 23. I understand that. I understand that. That's not what I'm pointing out. But what I am pointing out and what we both are agreeing on as the underlying foundation, that women can dress in a slutty way. And that is not an appropriate way for a woman who is not inviting inappropriate attention to dress. Would you agree with that?
To a certain thing, yeah, I would agree with that to a certain extent.
Okay. Well, what are the problems
we have?
Hold on, everybody. I'm sorry. This is Kappa, producer of the show. What we had? Was that K Nicole? Were you about to chime in on everything?
Yeah, I just was going to say something. I see your point too, Mr. Solution. You're right. Most of the, when women wear outfits like that, they are. That's the point. They want to invite attention, but you have people that go overboard, and that's just with any race, any color, any size, shape, form, you know?
Because white women dress like that more than a lot,
and they
too.
Get the same attention. It doesn't matter whether they're black or white or whatever.
They consider them to be a model when they do that.
Well, you know, that's a point, too.
Yeah, so just to kind of join in on that, Mr. Solution, I was listening to everything that you said. And the one thing I did have a problem with is when you referred specifically to the black community.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were a little off base in the fact that it sounded like you were singling out a race or culture, and to the point that they said it's not just about black. They're white women, and in this society, the white women will be looked at as the model, and the black woman will be viewed as the slut.
Or the hoochie mama.
Let's just be real about how the society works. So, yeah, there's a breakdown in the community, in the black community, relationship-wise, but it's not solely on the black man or the black woman. We have to look at all other things that are in place in this country that created the situation. I don't think it just manifested itself. It came from somewhere.
And we
First of all, let me say this. This is Mr. Solution. I agree with what you just said, but the point of it is this. Yes, if any woman dresses inappropriately, it's in, because women have the same body parts, okay? So if any woman dressed like a slut, it's a slut. I agree with that. Now, let's deal with another issue, and I'm glad you brought this up.
What do you call dressing like a slut? What is dressing like a slut to you, Ms. Solution?
Well, when someone can see your camel toe or moose knuckle, when you have, most women know what that means. When you're dressed like a woman, say a streetwalker, you know that streetwalkers dress different. Well, let me just finish this statement, if I may. Streetwalkers who are known prostitutes dress differently from women who call themselves modest or non-prostitute women. That's a fact. So all I'm saying is a woman knows how she's dressing. She knows how much butt, how much vagina, how much breast is being exposed. She knows. But I want to deal just quickly with the situation, say, blacks and whites. Two white men, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, have a higher net worth than the entire black race in America. And that stands at about 40 million people. Just two white men. Now, that's not true for any other race. So black people, even though they spend a lot of money basically on credit and debt, the thing of it is their net worth is very, very low. 72% of black people are at or below the poverty level. So black people do not have the same power in this world, in this society. A man just slaughtered a black kid down there in Florida, and they didn't even arrest the son of a bitch. There's no way in hell that a black man could have shot a white person in under any circumstances, and they not arrested his ass, even if he was later turned loose, which is doubtful. So there's a huge disparity vis-a-vis power among the races. And what happens is oftentimes blacks will shove their heads in the proverbial sand and not collect and not strengthen themselves to where they can have more power. And just one final point that will make my point. Black people in virtually every community, black community in America, do not even have a single black-owned, well-stocked grocery store. So black folks in America can't even feed and clothe themselves. So these are some differences amongst the races. Blacks have to depend upon every other group to feed and clothe themselves. And that's
okay,
Let me say something before you say something. Now, I agree with what everything you just said is true, but at the end of the day, it still not have nothing to do with women dressing sexy and do they deserve to be harassed, whether they black or they white.
Well, no, I agree with that. But look, the economic situation of a people has everything to do with their entire existence in a particular community. But my point is, going to the direct point, men and women have to connect. This is what we don't know, being that we don't communicate well. Men and women have to connect on some basis, whether it be a nethermost basis, or whether it be the most sordid and filthy level, or whether it be an appropriate level. And so the thing is, what I encourage women to do, instead of dressing inappropriately to attract attention, moment ago, use your mouth. Talk to men. If 90% of the problems that occur between men and women, women could correct. Women have the power to correct, and they have the power to prevent the vast majority of problems that occur between they and men.
I got to cut in. Look, no one is disagreeing with some of your points, but I think where it gets confusing is the points don't add up when you're matching it based on the questions that you're being asked. You know, now it's almost like I don't even remember where we were. We were talking about, you made a point about black families or the lack thereof in the community, and I gave you a reason why there's a breakdown you agreed with me, but you went on to talk about two top men in power in the country. I don't know what that has to do with your point. You were a little off when you said that most black people don't listen to each other. It's almost condescending.
Now, hold, before you say something, Mr. Solution, do any of the ladies have anything to say about what he just said just now?
It seems to me everything with Mr. Solution is based upon black this, black that. We've come a long way from slavery to now, and through it all, we still managed to survive. Whether we worth 72% or 100% of them two men, we still survive. Okay, so you define rich as money. I define rich as having my health, a roof over my head, food in my refrigerator. That's rich, because you got more rich people killing themselves than people like me who work hard every day just to make ends meet.
Okay, Nicole, you have something to say?
Well, yeah, I'm not disagreeing with Mr. Solution points either. However, it's the reason to the madness. You see how most white men, how they got to the top, you know? Just like you said, a young man just got slaughtered in Florida, and it was like nothing for the white men. You understand what I'm saying? This is how they get to the top. This is how they keep a person down. And they're going to always keep a person down like that. You right, because they do have the power, because the way they get the power. You know what I'm saying? And, back to the question at hand.
You know, that's, you know, because I want to know, none of that really reflects to, you know, a woman being harassed because the way she dressed sexy. A woman, with everything that you said being black, you know, with all the marching, the woman has the freedom to do what she wants to do. Now, I'm not saying it's right. Now, when you apply them to a prostitute on the whole strip will actually, you know, I live in New York City, so we're near Hunch Point. Hunch Point, they're butt naked. See, that's different. When you see a woman butt naked in her panties and a thong walking the street, that's different as for a lady with a nice pair of expensive shoes that's high heels with a short dress and that, and her hair's looking nice. That's the new fashion. That's the trend. That was created by black America. The fashion industry is ran by white America. So the fashion and the trends that we tend to wear are what white America wear. And a lot of black sisters tend not to wear, because they are bigger, a lot of black sisters, not to say nothing, but our sisters be thicker, they wear certain sexy stuff, but they don't wear the real lower stuff like you might see. If you look at it, most white stars, and I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm not trying to say no woman is wrong, but I'm just trying to make a point to what you said, Mr. Solution. You look at a Lady Gaga, you look at a Madonna, every white woman that's actually Cher, every white woman that's actually become a diva, they are basically butt naked. And when you're talking about girls that's dressing like, you know, the close to that you might say Rihanna and Beyonce. But at the same time, they're talented. And if you look at the way they dress, it's the way they have to dance on part of the stage.
And that's what makes their money.
You know, they have the same leotard outfit, but maybe a little sexy that a Ginger Rogers may have. If you look back into the movies in the 1940s, you know, it might not have looked so sexy on her as black and white. But it's the same type of outfit. If you look at the Rockettes, it's the same type of outfit.
Well, here's the difference. You know, well, women of color are more curvy, so the same outfit is going to look a lot different. Because
exactly.
The more curvaceous you are, the more attractive it is. So if you wear the same outfit, it could be the exact same outfit, it may tend in people's eyes to look slutty because it's more revealing. If you have a woman who's less of a shape, there's not much is being revealed, or should I say the imagination isn't tweaked and the desire isn't there. The black woman is sought by all races, even when they speak that they hate them.
Mm-hmm.
They want them.
And that's a good point, because I want to make that kind of point, when you just said that. If you look at it, and not just the black women, the Asian women, Hispanic women, all women of, you know, with ethnicity, they are considered to be, they, you know, the reason why they're considered to be looking slutty when they wear that type of stuff, because they're sexy. You know what I mean? Their race and their hood, you know, their race and their culture
and their
makes
color.
Them and their color and their skin and their texture keeps them sexy already. So they automatically extra sexy. You know what I mean? That's why the women get their hair done like the Chinese women, and that's why they get the tan like the black women, because, you know, it's already, those are ingredients to being sexy that these races have naturally. Asian, Chinese, Dominican, Hispanic, Colombian, Cuban, even Italian. You know? There's some phases. So you can't.
Is my mic open?
Yeah, your mic is
open.
Yeah,
you're on.
Thank you. Yeah, let me go on record, first of all, just to clarify. No one should harass anybody, either man, woman, or woman, man. But let's just be candid here. As I alluded to a moment ago, men and women have to meet. I don't harass women, and nor would I be tolerant, nor would I tolerate being harassed by a woman. But the problem is men and women do have to meet, and there's very little, I'm going to say, healthy point of contact between black men and black women. And that's a fact just based on the statistics and also the evidence of their hostility toward each other. Hell, Neely Fuller points out that black people shouldn't even connect unless they have a plan. So I say, you know, let's lessen the tension, let's be cordial toward each other, and let's have a conversation as often as we can. No one should harass anyone, but there is a way of women inappropriately dressing, because if women's bodies are attractive to men, they get a response out of men. I know in the workplace I used to have to advise supervisors, if a woman dressed in such and such way that she was drawing too much attention, do you know management had the right to send her home? Did you know that in the workplace?
Yeah. Yeah, but who determines that? Again, what I was saying earlier, it comes from
management determines.
But hear me out. I actually dated a female in my time who was curvaceous and attractive, and she was constantly, this black woman was constantly approached about dressing too sexy, and she was wearing nothing different from her Caucasian female counterparts, but it's because of her curves she was singled out. It's just the truth.
It is the truth. And when you know, you start talking about statistics and the statistic of the black family as a whole, but you got to remember, Mr. Solution, everything is not put out there like that. You got to remember who puts out these statistics and who puts out. If you do some real statistics, you'll see. In the urban neighborhood, these kids is killing themselves, drinking themselves, drugging themselves harder than the black community can ever go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's never put out in the statistics in society. They'll cover that up. What you find out is what you just, the minimum you know about the black community.
And another thing that was found out and stated, hold on, let me say this. When you talk about statistics, a lot of times when they do surveys or they do these things, they don't even go to the black community and ask these questions. They found out that they're not even, these surveys and stuff are not even taken in the black community. These are taken in suburban communities. It's just the same thing as picking a jury. The crime happens in Harlem, but the whole jury, when you go to jury duty, they don't pick nobody from the inner city to do jury duty. They pick everybody that's from like Philadelphia that just moved to New York and they just come into New York to work. They try to find people that they basically come in. They got a New York address, but they really stay somewhere else, and this is the place they work. So the statistics are always molded. Unless when you start, like now, when you start hearing the statistics about our president, our beautiful President Obama, how he's leading the way. But now the statistics are, we can't be sure because, you know, we're not sure about this. You know, it could change anyway. But when it was George Bush, the statistics was, oh, our President George Bush, he's up, his approval rating is this and his approval rating that. When America was like, how the approval rating is this? And we all are mad.
What they put out.
Well, see, this is the answer, not the answer that you're giving to be suspicious of statistics. We need statistics. Anytime we live in a complex society,
where we can't see everything with our own eyes and have the time to see it. What we should be arguing for then is for blacks to have their own system of statistical taking. Now, I'll give you one, Target Market News. That is a black trend tracker. They track the economic spending of blacks. I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but it's targetmarketnews.com. And just because blacks don't have a lot of think tanks, it does not mean that they don't need information. It just means that they are often poor at having that information because they don't give attention to setting up the institutions to track that information. Now, the other thing is this. There are a lot of historical black colleges and universities, and usually think tanks are on the campuses of colleges and universities. So it is black people's negligence that they don't have their own statistics.
Now, let me ask
you
something.
We need statistics for all kinds of reasons.
I got one question for you, though. I got one. Why you never say we and you say they?
Well, okay, we. Okay,
all right. I mean,
we.
You know, that's more better.
We. I mean, the point of it is black people are so damn sensitive over things that they should be informed. And all they have to do is start doing the legwork to get their own information. There are a few black information sources, like, say, for example, the Urban League and the United Way. They put out an index every year that states the state of black America. And I know they do one for the state of black Los Angeles, and they use certain indices such as homelessness, health care, death rates, incarceration rates, business ownerships. I mean, there is information that is black connected. The problem is blacks generally don't study anything. They feel. They tend to feel more than know, and that's a problem.
Okay, now you made a great point.
Thank you.
But at the same time, the very statistics that you were quoting where DJ Big Stewart said it was incorrect, you used that same statistic in order to make your point. So
Wait, what are you talking about? Be specific.
When you talked about, I think K. Nicole made a point about the statistics of black families in the community. Then Big Stu made a point about those statistics being wrong, and it was based on your giving of those statistics. So we all can be victims of the same thing, of listening to statistics that have been given to us that are incorrect.
Well, but the point of it is, and I understand what you're saying. I mean, I study statistics, but the thing of it is this. There are issues that the black community has not researched. And tends not to research. The vast majority of blacks, except for going to work on Mr. Charlie's farm, don't do very much. Blacks don't have a lot of businesses. That's the reason I referenced to you earlier. See, all of this stuff is interconnected, and that's why I referenced to you black folks don't feed or clothe themselves. You know, blacks think that it's more prestigious to be a consumer than a producer. That's a problem.
Okay,
that's a problem,
because
that means you're dependent upon everyone else, and you pay a heavy price for that. Your dollars are not recycled in your community.
And why do you think that is?
Well, it's because it starts right here. See, everything you say, I'm looking at how I can be in agreement with you, not how I can avoid agreement. And that's the fundamental foundation over the past 50 years for blacks. Because at one time, and I highly recommend Dr. Claude Anderson's book, Powernomics, blacks did own their own businesses in the 50s before integration and this sort of thing. But they gave it up to other people. They sold out to the Koreans and other Asian groups, and now blacks are basically powerless. But they're always complaining about the fact that people mistreat them. Well, the reason people mistreat you is because you don't have any power.
Okay, well, now, of course, and I can tell you're an intelligent man. So are you going to tell me that every black person that owned a business, they just gave it away? Or as we know, even white businesses go under hostile takeovers. Do you reference Black Wall Street, a whole community that was running itself, and it was destroyed by white people. So you can't tell me that people are just giving up their businesses and they're unintelligent. What's happening is when you start with slavery and you have generations of people who were told if they read, they die, and then they have family members who are scared to teach their kids to read, and you have generations that continue on in this manner, we're going to be behind the curve because we're not having the enriched intelligence passed down. There are plenty of families that out of fear, they didn't pass it down.
So right, and that was horrible. They did that to Rosewood. There were a lot of townships. I agree with you.
Let's go back to Rosewood.
And that was horrible what racist whites did. But the point of it is, sir,
Rosewood. Do y'all remember that, Rosewood?
Blacks have to rebuild. You can't just claim. See, blacks have the best opportunity ever right now. And if the advantage is not taken of what we have now, it's going to be very difficult going forward. Now, while I agree with everything you said, I'm a bit of a historian, so I understand that. But the point of it is, a lot of blacks sold their businesses to other people, usually foreigners, instead of teaching their kids how to run their businesses. Because what's happening now, there's a huge unemployment rate, over 25% among adult blacks and 56% among youth blacks or black youth. And so what happens is you don't have money coming in from personal businesses nor from blacks being employed in the general society. So Dr. Anderson pointed out in his book, a wonderful book, Powernomics, An Economic Plan for Black Empowerment, I believe, that 72% of blacks are at or below the poverty level. Think of that for a moment.
Now, is it because of jobs that we never was getting anyway? Because let me tell you, we was always not getting a lot of jobs anyway. We could be, you know, you got to always look when our statistic come up about we unemployed. A lot of us was unemployed because, you know, we had to, you go to the job, you could be just as qualified or even better and didn't get the job because of your skin color. So they don't add that into the statistics. So when it comes down to, they only add the negativity part of it. But that should go into the statistic too, the racism.
I agree with you 100%, but let me just give you a news alert. No one gives a damn how you've been treated in the past. The only
we know that. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying with Trayvon Martin. That's what we said with Rodney King. That's what we said with, my man Bell. You know what I'm saying? That's what we said a lot of times. That's nothing new to understand that no one gives a damn about us. But let me tell you about black business, sir. I want to tell you something real quick, maybe just to make you think about a little something a little more. We do have a lot of black business, and we have a culture that's making a lot of young black entrepreneurs. And let me tell you, this culture is what some people like you may hate, but it's called hip-hop. And it brought us the Russell Simmons and the Puff Daddies, which we are owning television now, the Tyler Perrys, which we are owning television now. This is all birthed through the hip-hop community because everything the hip-hop community brings out the truth, and that's what people want to see. We do have our mark now. We might have it a little harder, but we're bringing it out. We got graffiti artists becoming clothing line designers. We're taking guys who used to ride on trains, and these guys are now having top billion-dollar clothing lines designing for Sean John and other people and even white America places. And not to mention that hip-hop community makes so much big business that the good old boys had to put a little hip-hop in the country music a little bit to keep it rocking. And commercials, and the curb commercials is always hip-hop. And then hip-hop and basketball, we are breeding kids to go to college. And let me tell you another thing that we built with the hip-hop community and that goes with the business. Back in the days, and I hate to say this, but it's the truth, and you may not want to hear this when it was the Temptations and all of them, we had a lot of poppers that was a Rolling Stone. Yeah, we might have a little bunch of fathers that's buying their kids $100 sneakers and buying their kids this, but they home, and they here taking care of their kids. And we got that one thing that they statistic that they don't talk about the black race or how we have more young men being fathers to their kids. Whether they with the mother, it might be baby mama drama, but they are in their kids' lives as opposed to the 70s and the 60s when we had a lot of dads, African-American dads, that had six to four families, one family in Mississippi, another family in Georgia, and maybe another family in New York because he was riding the railroad train and he had to have a family at every stop when he got someplace. That's why we have records like Papa Was a Rolling Stone. Now we got records like Be a Father to Your Child made by people like Tupac. So we have a lot of big black business.
What I would add, and I agree with you,
the real black business has been came in from hip hop, but they don't want to recognize that because they want to put hip hop down. But if you look at it, there are so many young brothers becoming boss. Every young brother that turns platinum, whatever you say about whatever you can say about his record, he will go back into his neighborhood and open a bunch of business for his friends and give his entourage jobs. He's doing better than the government. He's doing better than a rap has
That's
been doing
right.
better than affirmative action, and it definitely has been doing better and getting jobs for brothers and sisters in the community than the stimulus payment.
Well, that's good. And what I would suggest is that each one of you locate a black business and move this type of conversation into that business. In other words, where you go to that business, support it, and talk about your issues. Because there's a lot of area for improvement. I mean, because true to what you say, if a few blacks are doing that, that's great. But usually that's like a boiling cup of hot water as the energy it gives off as opposed to the energy that the ocean gives off. And most of us don't even know of or patronize businesses such as that. But the ones that do, that's fine. I mean, we're in perfect agreement. But on average, as I said a moment ago, black people tend not to have one well-stocked grocery store in their community. Say, for example, in Detroit, it's 80% black, but the Arabs own all the businesses virtually, all the grocery stores. I talk to people out of Detroit, all the gas stations and so on and so forth. So all I'm saying is a lot of our misery is the result of our poverty, okay, and our poverty is the result of our inappropriate behavior. So there are two issues that all blacks are working with. They're working with white racism, which has diminished from the way it was 35, 40, 50 years ago. But there's also inappropriate black behavior, which a lot of blacks practice, and that tends to weaken their community cohesiveness.
The only thing that has diminished with that is the outright racism in the form of beatings and blatant racism. Now it's just subtle. It's still there. It didn't diminish. It's just tucked under the rug.
Of course.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there is because it's structural. See, racism is structural.
Hold on one second. So we definitely have a lot of
time. That's
the problem. We got
because
Mimi.
Of the racism. That's why the totem pole is the way the totem pole is. I could go start about 20 businesses right now, but I guarantee you the men is going to find a way to try to knock me down all the time. It's lopsided.
Nothing ever goes smoothly.
You're right. Oh. When it becomes unlopsided in this society, this one is a real big change, and it definitely will be coming.
You have something to say, Mimi?
Yeah, Mimi had a point.
I just listened to all the comments, and I listened to Mr. Solution, and I feel like either he's ignoring what's going on or he just doesn't want to see it.
He didn't know the statistics.
Right. I can't say that I would want to follow statistics because, like Cap said, it's very inaccurate. But, you know, I work in a finance department, and I see it all the time, whereas other people have better opportunities than black people, whereas you have people who have family giving their resumes to the managers and they're getting hired, even though that's against company policy. So whereas you could have a black person come in and interview for the position, they're not going to get hired because
nepotism.
Right, because of nepotism or these people that feel like, okay, well, they're smart, so I'm sure their family is smart, so we're going to put them in that position. And you see in corporate America that there aren't many of us there because a lot of times when we do go for interviews, we're turned away. And why do you think that is? It's not because we're rowdy coming in the office. A lot of us are professional, but it is because we're black. Bottom line.
That people like Mr. Solution go through and, you know, follow.
Well, also, too,
have you feeling like the black community is not going to come into the office and act right.
Now, I want to ask Mr. Solution something. Now, you mentioned Trayvon Martin. What do you feel about a person like Joe Oliver? Did you see his statement and everything?
Yeah. I was listening to that. And I was also listening to Tyreek's web discussion of that. And obviously this guy, at least in my opinion, he seems to be paid off or something. I don't think he's genuine. In fact, I think he's disingenuous. But the problem is the police department is as bad as the guy that actually committed the murder. And I heard that the state attorney, not the district attorney, and I don't know Florida's law, but usually it's the district attorney that determines if charges are filed. And they say in this particular case, the state attorney denied that there was sufficient evidence to file charges against this guy. So I think that there still is racism, and I'm glad the way blacks are reacting in this particular situation, because I think it's totally just. Most conservatives don't think that it's appropriate. I listen to them all, from Rush Limbaugh on down to Larry Elder. But the real problem is that blacks tend to be like a flash in a pan. They get heated up over one emotional event, and they don't understand the connective tissue that leads up to an event. And so the thing I suggest is that blacks empower themselves so that these situations are less likely to happen. They're bringing up this guy's, like Trayvon, they're bringing up his school history. That has nothing to do with the issue. The issue is that guy was told to stand down. Zimmerman was told to stand down. He didn't need to follow that guy. But he did, because he had a gun, and I think he was just kind of trolling for trouble. But nevertheless, the problem centers around the fact that they didn't arrest him. They did not arrest him, and that's a major issue.
Now, do you think that check this new scenario out. Now, me as a young black man with a hood on now, right? I got my hood on, and a white man looks at me, and I feel he's looking at me funny, and I feel that my life is in danger. Do I have the right to stand down and kill him? Because I can go now. Nowadays, I can say, okay, when white people see us black youth or black men with hoodie on, they be trying to kill us. Now, pose all of our mentality change to that. Do I have the right? Am I wrong for thinking like that?
Well, you raise an excellent point. I think you mean stand your ground. That's
stand
the
my
law.
Stand your ground.
Yeah, that's the law they're quoting in Florida. And so the thing of it is, yes, because all of them were talking, the conservatives, mostly white, and a few, token blacks, they were talking about Zimmerman were standing his ground. But what about Trayvon? If someone's stalking you, you have the right to stand your ground. And this is a problem. See, if blacks were powerful the way they should be, because blacks spend something like $1 trillion per annum. Now, a lot of that is credit and so maybe some payday loans. Ha, 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 I'm just teasing. But blacks spend a lot of money per annum. And if they recycled that money, they could donate to politicians. That's what whites do. And they could actually get better representation, because you get the representation, and let's just be candid here, you get the best representation you can afford. Okay, but because blacks tend not to recycle their money, they give it all to other people, they have no base, except now they're marching now. They're marching, but you need people in the district attorney's office. You need blacks that will grow up and get an education and become deputy district attorneys and so on and so forth and be police chiefs. Because they can turn this around. This can be changed.
May I ask what state you call from?
Excuse me?
What state you be calling from? Like, what state?
L.A.
All right. See, now I can understand your feeling, because a lot of feelings you have, we don't have them feelings in New York. You know, New York, we have a totally different outlook than you have.
What do you mean?
As for a lot of the things you're saying. You know, like in New York, we're, you know, we do see a lot of black businesses in Brooklyn and Harlem and the Bronx. We do see that where we're from. We do own a lot. And so do the Hispanic brothers and sisters. They own a lot of business, and so do our Mexican brothers and sisters. Now, when you talk about going to Midtown, but if you know, in New York, mostly the highlighted stuff is owned by black people. When you're going to go to 125th Street and Lenox Avenue or go anywhere near the Apollo, that's where the attraction. The only attractions that corporate white America have in New York City is 42nd Street, Times Square, and maybe the Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty. But other than that, mostly every other thing that you come to New York City to see, especially when you come to Harlem, Cotton Club and everything, are owned by blacks. And when you come to eat Latino food with the famous restaurants that Bill Crosby and everybody eat, they are owned by Hispanics. So we don't feel the same way. In L.A., you know, I heard there's a lot of, you know, that there's a lot of the situations that you're saying. But we have
Detroit. In fact, in most areas that are highly populated by blacks, they tend not to own the business. So you are an anomaly. Now, I'm glad that you are. Trust me. I think. Look, let me just say this. Let me just make this point. Business is the leveling and the balance of a people, because it shows that they're working in harmony. They're working toward a common goal. And they are recycling their dollars. That's what every other group does.
So let's let somebody else talk, Mr. Solution, because we got somebody else that want to chime in. Caller, you there?
Yo, what's
Hello?
Good, family? How y'all doing?
All right. How you feel about what the brother's saying, bro?
Yo, man, I'm really just, you know what I'm saying, just checking in and checking out the convo. You know, it just really sound like funny. I don't know the other gentleman on the line, but it's just like you he real disconnected from, I guess, you know what I'm saying, like people, black people, right? You know what I'm saying? I hear you keep referring to, like, you know, black people this and black people that. Like, I'm just real confused at, like, what's really going on.
And where you calling from, brother?
I'm calling from Atlanta, man.
All right. Now, see, that's a brother that's down south, and he still don't relate to you. You know, I think that, you know, you're somewhere else, bro. You know, you're not really with us.
Mr. Solution looks at a lot of the statistics, and he reads a lot, and he goes by what, you know, is just put out there for the people to know.
Right, but you can't believe everything you read either.
Don't know that a lot of stuff is just put out there.
Right.
It's not, I mean, you know, even you agreed on it. It's not based on the total fact of a lot of things.
Well,
the
brother
in Atlanta didn't cite
limited statistic type motherfuckers, huh?
Okay, the brother in Atlanta didn't recite anything. He didn't refer to any
fact. Let's give him a chance. Bro, you got anything you want to say, bro?
What kind of facts you need? Like, what kind of facts you want? Like,
well, okay, I'll be very clear. Do you feel that black people own sufficient stores there to support their community?
Absolutely.
Atlanta's black city.
Okay, I grew up in College Park, Georgia. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you know anything about the area. But
I don't.
Yeah, we have,
I missed you, though.
In South Atlanta, we have numerous of black-owned businesses, and they're doing actually just fine. Actually been doing pretty well for the past, 20-plus years.
Do you shop at a black-owned, well-stocked grocery store?
I don't know any black-owned grocery store.
Do you think that's a problem, since food is so basic and fundamental to human life?
Do I think that is a problem that there's no black-owned grocery store?
Yes.
No, actually, I mean, I don't think it's a problem that there aren't any black-owned grocery store. I mean, it's a reality that there aren't going to be any black-owned grocery stores. I mean, the way that things are set up, it's like you're just not going to open up a black grocery store. I mean,
well, wouldn't you say that every other group in their community owns grocery stores?
No.
Tell something
there.
About the area. You said
well,
I didn't know anything.
I can't really say that because a lot of grocery stores in my neighborhood are owned by Hispanic brothers who I consider black. You know, and where I'm from,
they are black.
They are black. And in East Harlem, you know, Spanish Harlem, where I'm from, all the Spanish brothers own the grocery stores. You got an Arab. You may have an Arab smoke shop store. You may have one in the neighborhood, but I'm gonna tell you. Yeah, Arabs are black.
Here's the thing, cuz. Let me just jump in with this. Like, the problem that happens a lot, too, and this is another reason why statistics are way off base. Mm-hmm. When statistics are done with white people, they add white, Irish, they add Russian, they add Jewish. All of them are considered white. When statistics are on black, they confuse race with culture, and they say black, they say Hispanic or Latino. Then they say Arab, but if you really break it down, race and culture is two different things. Mm-hmm. So when you put the black race as a lump sum, there are black people owning well-stocked grocery stores. Maybe not African-American, but there are blacks owning well-stocked grocery stores.
Well, what about the Africans that own a lot of stores? The Africans own plenty of grocery stores, food stores, clothing stores, services.
I appreciate his point and concern. I just think the reason why that we and this is a good conversation. I'm glad that you called and opened this up. But I guess just as well as we're listening, and hopefully you're gaining something from what we have to say as well, and we can have a perfect understanding overall. Because you're making great points, but at the same time, it comes off as if you're discounting the achievements that have been made, and that you're discounting the things that have been done against the African American, especially, to make these problems occur.
Well, I'm not discounting that. No. You may not have heard all the conversation. I'm not discounting that.
No, I heard the whole conversation. What I'm saying is it comes off that way.
If it comes off that way, I'm telling you it's not that way. So you have to understand. In other words, I have my style, you have yours. I'm bringing up particular issues that generally blacks never bring up. They just don't talk about it. It's kind of like Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman's answer to racism is the situation of the black community. He said, just don't talk about it. Just don't talk about it. Now, we can do that. I mean, you know, I'll do whatever you guys want. It's your show. But if you don't want it, I think whenever mature people get together, they talk about real issues, whether it's male, female, or financial, or health issues.
I think what Morgan Freeman meant, like, don't talk about it, or just do something about it. That was the phrase when he was basically saying, just don't talk about it. He was meaning, you know, let's not talk about it no more. Let's start doing something about it.
No, that wasn't his point that I heard. He was saying, just don't talk about it.
Well, there are some of our counterparts that don't want us to talk about it, because as soon as we talk about it, they feel that we have an issue. But,
right.
You know,
that's...
a lot of times, you know, a lot of these grocery stores and different things can be franchised, too. So we don't know what grocery store is owned by whom. It would be something that has to be researched. So we don't actually know whether there are a lot of black grocery store owners. And sometimes these different cities, there are a lot of black-owned businesses, but they might be industry-specific, speaking of which, in Detroit, there are a lot of black-owned businesses, which are salons, because I read some of these hair magazines, and a lot of them are people from Detroit who own salons. So we can't say that different cities all over the country are not black, don't have black-owned businesses.
And Georgia's really like the melting pot, man.
Yes,
Georgia's
okay.
like the melting pot for black-owned businesses.
Most,
you know, that's what you, that's what you know about Georgia. You know that there's a lot of beautiful black people doing well down in Georgia,
mm-hmm.
and that's where they are, where they got black-owned businesses.
Yeah,
and
a lot of black and young owners at that.
Absolutely.
That's right.
I mean, just to throw that out there.
And a lot of these black people own mansions and very beautiful homes. And,
yeah, but that's a debt.
Oh,
that's really not. A home is generally not an asset. Blacks lost 50% of their wealth during the mortgage crisis. In other words, the situation with the mortgage.
Like
this is my point,
Wikipedia,
because in this economy, if you can own a home If you can own especially a mansion, then that means you must be doing well at some point.
Not necessarily at all. That's not true. You have to look at the debt to asset ratio.
Yes,
it is. Are
you serious? Absolutely true. you're not living in a mansion if you're not doing well.
Yeah, but a lot of people who own mansions, ma'am, are losing them. They're having to turn them back in.
Yes, that is some people. But
you said Detroit. He says Detroit, but Detroit is the auto mechanic. You know, auto is the auto state.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of white people is doing bad in Detroit because that's where the jobs are in the auto.
Exactly.
So when you mention Detroit, you mentioned in the wrong statistics because that's what's basically the whole thing about what we were talking about, the stimulus package, was how white America was doing bad because the auto industry was doing bad until it just made a turnaround, but they still haven't replaced a lot of those jobs that was lost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look here. If you guys want to conclude everything is just fine and dandy, and I'm not saying all
no,
of
we're not
it,
saying
if
it's
you
fine
want
and
to
dandy.
Conclude that, and first of all, I'm going to tell you I don't believe it. Because if you look at the payday loans that are set up generally in and around the black community, where people, and I've witnessed this, where a lot of blacks are borrowing against their expected or anticipated paycheck, that's a problem.
But those things don't even give people credit. Those things are basically, to me, to get your information and send you mail and send you stuff and advertise you. Because half of the blacks don't even get it. Half of the time they tell black people that something is wrong with their credit and they can't get it. But next thing you know, you receive a lot of spam mail after that.
No, I said payday loans. I don't know.
Yeah, the payday loans are the loans that, like with Montel Jordan, you want to borrow money to your payday. Montel Williams, you want to borrow money to your payday. And, you know, those loans.
And borrowing against your car.
Or borrowing against your car or borrowing against your your bank account, you know, those things.
Well, let me say this, because we're about two minutes left from the show.
Yeah.
Again, to Mr. Solution, I just want to drive the point that in this discussion, we are not saying that everything is fine and dandy, and it almost seems like if the opinion is. We're not. It's not even an opinion. If we're adding a point, it seems to tend that you're taking the position that we're not in agreement at all. What we're saying is
the points that
you're making, they are valid, but you can't put in one and leave out the other. We're painting the whole picture. You're bringing half of the picture. We're bringing the other half. When you made the statement that, well, if you just want me to not say anything and just agree. I don't know what position you're taking on that. That you talked about blacks communicating. You just shut communication down by saying, well, if you don't want to listen to my side, I'll just say whatever you say and I won't say anything.
I get your point, and a point well taken. I think these are things we need to continue to discuss.
And of course, we got 20 seconds left, and I want to thank everybody for calling in. My man from Georgia, Mr. Solution, Mama Kim, Mimi, Cap, you know how we do it. But we got to go, y'all. I want to say good night and thank everybody for being on the show. Please tune in. We'll keep this going another day.
This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now we're talking about beef stew.
Try this beef soup.